Karuna. Hello everyone, this is Yash from the Investor Relations team. I welcome you all to the Britannia Earnings Call to discuss the Quarter 1 1920 financial results. Joining us today in the earnings call is our Managing Director Mr. Varun Perry, CFO Mr. N. Venkatraman, VP Sales and Dairy Mr. Gunjan Shah, VP Supply Chain Mr. Vinay Singh Kushwaha, VP Adjacent Bakery Mr. Jayant Kapre, VP R&D and Quality Mr. Sudhir Nima, and VP Human Resource Mr. Ritesh Rana. We'll start the call with remarks on performance by Mr. Varun Perry. Subsequently, we'll open up the call for questions. Before we get started with the presentation, I would like to draw your attention to the safe harbor statement included in the presentation. I would now like it to pass on to Mr. Varun Perry for his comments.
Yeah, hello everybody. How are you? Welcome to the Britannia conference call. So let me start by going to page 3, which shows the reflection of our performance in the last few quarters. So if you look at it, our growth in quarter 1 has been 6%. Our 24-month growth is still at about 20%, which is at about the same average as we've seen in the last 5 quarters. Moving on to the next page, this is the chart which shows our movement on market share. In fact, between 18-19 and year-to-date 19-20, we've seen our largest growth on market share. So, which is the good news. The corollary to this is that the market is growing very slowly. And obviously, there is some impact of the slowing down of the economy, which is coming to FMCGs as well. Moving on to the next chart, which says that our journey to become a total foods company has started and started pretty aggressively. So, getting on to the next page, which shows two of the categories that we've entered. The first one is wafers, which we've just completed a pan-India launch, and we've become the number 3 brand in less than a year of launch, and we are probably the widest distributed today. So with all our with the advertising money that we're going to put behind this, we are confident that we'll be able to take this to a leadership position as well. The second category is milkshakes, which we launched about 8 months ago. And again, in this category, we've become the number 2 brand in less than a year of launch. The good news is that, our distribution is going strong and we are getting great response from consumers as well. And this is probably one of our best launches that we've done in a long, long time. The next page shows some of the adjacent categories that we've gotten into. So we've launched salty snacks, which has only been launched in the South. As you would remember, our strategy on salty is to make sure that we do not send our product to very long distances. So we are looking at small lines, and we are going to have small lines which will coexist with our existing lines of other bakery products in various parts of the country. This line, happy to report, has given us great results in the South. And also we are currently at about 75% capacity utilization. It will take us slightly over a year to make sure that we become a pan-India brand, because the second line is going to come up in Ranjangaon and so on and so forth, and we are baking in all the learnings from the launches as we get to the next line and so on and so forth. The fourth one is the croissant, which is the joint venture that we have with a Greek company. We have a lot of hope in this product, but I must say that we did struggle in the beginning with our manufacturing. Our partner is completely working with us. We had some issues on flour, etc., which was imported initially, but now we found a solution. We are looking at local flour, and we are in a position of producing the best products and ramping up our capacities and getting to a national launch very, very quickly. Now, coming to biscuits, we are looking at, this is on page 8, we are redefining biscuits from a technology as well as from an R&D standpoint. So we've launched the democratized centrifills, which is under Treat Burst, and this is doing extremely well in the market. We've launched Treat Star, which is like an open sandwich kind of a biscuit with chocolate as well as vanilla cream on the front face. This is again ramping up and doing quite well. Deuce, which we launched some time ago, has also given us great results. So we are now the cutting edge as far as biscuits is concerned. We are creating new niches within the biscuit category and taking biscuits into the premium range. Moving on to adjacent businesses, dairy, we've seen double-digit growth on, you know, which is coming basically from the milkshake launch that we've done. Bread has been doing very well, not just from a top line, but from a bottom line perspective as well. And similarly, international, despite the slowdown in the Middle East, we've just commercialized our Nepal plant, and we are seeing very good results in Nepal. And as luck would have it, as we've launched our plant, the import duties into Nepal have gone up to 40%. So that will have a major positive impact on our Nepal business. And in line with our promise to enter one new geography, we are looking at another Southeast Asian country, which we will be launching our product in the next 2 to 3 months. All this is happening while there is clearly a slowdown in the economy. We are seeing a slowdown in GDP. We are also seeing a liquidity crisis with the NBFCs struggling. We've seen stress in the rural economy and obviously reduced real income from agriculture. So there is a stress, but we are absolutely sure that the government is going to address it. And hopefully within the next 6 months or so, things will start to look much better for the economy and also for FMCG companies in terms of growth. Moving on, our sustained execution continues. We continue to drive distribution. We have now gotten to a direct reach of 21.3 lakh outlets. We've got about 19,000 rural distributors. There is a steady increase in our numeric distribution as measured by Nielsen. And our growth in the Hindi belt, it's not happening as per our plan from a revenue growth perspective, but our market share growth continues. And I do think that even the growths will start to come back, because there it's not so much about what is the growth in the market, but it's all about market share growth. Moving on to the next page, we have now a new employee value proposition, which is about the four things. It's about inviting, which is making sure that whoever comes to Britannia is welcomed and is provided all that's required to make his stay at Britannia comfortable. Second is about igniting, which is about fueling the hunger, making sure that the culture of innovation and young managers council, etc., becomes a very essential part of what we do at Britannia. The third one is creating, which is about building enriching careers for people at Britannia, which is that whole credo of Britannia for Britannians that we have been embracing for a long time. And the last one is respecting, which is about doing the right thing, integrity and doing good for the community, etc. And the good news is that we were ranked amongst the top 15 best employers by Forbes Aon Hewitt survey in 2019. And I think this is something that we at Britannia are very, very proud of. Moving on to the next page, while we saw a slowdown in this quarter, in fact, even in the previous quarter, we had started to see signs of a slowdown. But we took a concerted call that, in a situation like this, it does not merit, cutting back on our advertising and sales promotion expenses, because what is required by a market leader in a situation like this is to make sure that we excite the consumers about the category. So we have continued to spend money as far as advertising is concerned. We had a very strong Britannia Khao World Cup Jao promotion, which happened during this quarter. Besides that, we had a lot of other activities, which, we are hoping that this will start to stir the market and get the category growths to go beyond what they are today. Next page is about our cost efficiency programs. While we have continued to spend money on advertising and sales promotion, we also understand that these are not normal circumstances, and hence it's very important for us to tighten our belt. So we've gone, we are looking at, even more cost efficiency from what we were looking in the past. So while our budget is 265 crores this year, We are looking at other savings as well as we go forward. So we are making sure that from a cost perspective, we really, really tighten our belt. On to the next page, which is about commodity inflation. The commodity inflation for us is at a moderate 4%. And this is basically because we've taken some long positions on some certain commodities like flour, which has helped us. So the flour prices have gone up considerably, but for us it looks like an inflation of 11%. Sugar is almost flat. There is a deflation as far as RPO is concerned, and there's an inflation of 10% on milk. This again, if you look at the actual inflation, will be much more than this. But for us, that's the number because we did take some long positions as far as SMP and butter was concerned. Moving on to the next page, which gives our financial numbers. So if you were to look at it now, just a caveat here, these numbers are without the exceptional item, which is about 16 crores, which we have, you know, which we have given to a subsidiary for a VRS program that we are doing in one of our not-so-efficient plants in West Bengal. We want to close that plant and want to make sure that we save some costs in the long run by getting the production to more efficient plants. So that these numbers are without that 16 crores, which is the exceptional item for this quarter. But if you were to look at it, our growth as far as profits is concerned is a very modest 3%. But if you were to look at a 24-month growth, it is still at 23%. But I would say it's certainly lower than what we've seen even from a 24-month perspective in the last four quarters. But it's all about the top line, and we are hoping that you know, we will get back to our top line growth as the economic conditions in the country improve. So that is all from me. We would now like to, well, there's one last slide which, you know, I'm sure you must have gone through, which is the key financial lines for the consolidated business. Still looking good. So that's all from me. We'll open the house for questions now.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We request the participants to please limit their questions up to two. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Rajesh Kothari from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Rajesh.
Hi. I have two questions. First is with reference to the, you know, new businesses in which we are entering, whether it's wafers, milkshakes, dairy business, and, you know, other two segments. How do you see return on capital employed on these segments over a period of next, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years? Do you think you know, it will meet the ROC of biscuit business in which presently you are in? That's first question. And once I get feedback, I'll ask second question.
So all of the categories that we are entering into have gross margins which are accretive to our overall biscuit gross margin. So that makes the payback reasonably good. So, you know, we are looking at a payback of about 4 years for the capital that we are employing. And as I said, the gross margins are fairly good for most of the products. And in fact, some of them are without capital at this point in time. So for example, milkshakes, there is no capital employed. Also for wafers, there is no capital employed. So we are looking at building this market and then making sure that once we get to a certain scale, then we start to put capital. But yes, even where we are putting capital, the paybacks are reasonably good.
No, so my question is, you know, from 5 years perspective, when you look at your current business, biscuit business, and you look at the gross block which is invested in biscuit business, whereas the new business is what you are doing, particularly on the dairy side and, you know, others, don't you think that the required capital employed would be higher, and that may mean, while it may mean higher gross margin, but might be lesser return on capital employed?
No, but that's what I'm trying to tell you, that on the dairy business for the milkshakes, we've employed no capital at all. It's all third party. Our manufacturing is done by a third party. Similarly, for wafers, we've started the business with a third party, with in fact two third parties who are making our products. But yes, even if we were to employ the capital today, which we are not doing, we will get a payback in 4 years. So we've done the numbers, but we've still said that the times are tough. So in certain categories, we should make sure that the capital is employed at the right time.
My yeah. second question is with reference to, you know, in the fourth quarter, there was a treasury which were given to the associate companies. Would you like to give some, you know, color on that, how is that number in first quarter? Was there any repayment from that entity, and what is the number currently stands?
Yeah, so there has been a repayment. We've got 185 crores back from one of the companies. So it's down from 685 to under 500 crores now.
And any further plan to reduce that further?
Yes, so, you know, as we have a payback plan, so we are working on that. And hopefully another 150 crores will come back in a year.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, just to follow up on the intercorporate deposits that was asked in the by the earlier participant, sir, do we as a company have a policy as to ICDs to group companies or related parties as to have a cap on these at any point of time?
Yes, there is a cap. There is. Venkat, would you like to comment?
Yeah. So, so all these proposals go through the finance committee of the company and is in line with the treasury policy of the company. Right. We mentioned the last time also that, you know, it is not likely to go beyond the numbers that currently are there. So that is the policy, and we are progressively looking at bringing this down.
Current numbers as in the 500 crore number?
Yes.
Okay. So, okay. And this is as on date or during the year, any time it cannot go beyond 500 crores?
It will at any point in time during the year.
Okay, great, sir. And, sir, my next question is that when I look at the subsidiary performance implied through when I do a consolidated minus standalone, I see a 70% decline in EBITDA this quarter. I understand there is some inflation in milk and that might have driven some of this, but any other factor that is impacting the performance of the subsidiaries?
So, PAT for subsidiaries last year was about 12 crore, which is in this quarter 1 crore. So that is the number that you are referring to.
Correct.
The drop of 11 crore has been on account of two entities. One, like you rightly said, the dairy business. With the milk price going up, the impact has been about 5 crore for the quarter. The second one is the Britship entity. It started operations only in this quarter, and the initial ramp-up costs have been booked, whereas the revenues are yet to come in. So these are the two Britship.
The Grosso business, the joint venture that we have with the Greek company.
Got it, sir. Sir, and the last question, sir, all these new categories that we have got in, let's say, the last 3 years, can we give a number to it as to how much they contribute currently to our sales?
So, between the four categories that I spoke about, it will be approximately, what will it be, Venkat?
So new categories will be 2.5%.
2.5%.
Great, sir. Thanks, sir. Thanks for taking these questions. That's all from me.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anasuya Lahiri from Steven & Mactage. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. My question is, what is the volume growth recorded by the company during this quarter? And I would also like to know the impact of the Andhra Pradesh warehouse fire on the financials of the company. That's it.
So the price versus volume is about half and half, and the warehouse fire is it's insured. So we are hoping that you know that insurance will come in handy at this point in time. So I don't think there's going to be any impact on the financials of the company.
Sir, kindly elaborate on the volume growth. I didn't get. I mean, I can half and half.
Of the 6% growth that has happened. Between volume mix, and price, it's been half and half.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devansh Kapoor from Ambit Trade. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. My question is on the margin, sir, that we have reported this quarter. Sir, if I see quarter on quarter, there has been a shrinkage in your gross margin by about 80 basis points. So would you attribute this entire decline to inflation, or has there been some other factor that has driven this slippage?
So this has been on account of two things. One, commodity prices has accounted for 50% of that. Yeah. Second is that employee cost increase in terms of increments has accounted for the balance 50%, because between the increment that is done and the top line growth, there has been a gap.
So usually
sir, I was talking about the gross margins. So gross margins, which would be basically your turnover minus material cost. So that has declined by about a percentage between quarter four and quarter one of this year. So this is entirely attributable to inflation, which means, sir, you had more than 1%, more than 2% inflation sequentially, is it?
So this has moved from 59.5% cost to 60.1% cost during this, which is a 0.6% in terms of
cost. Okay, so there has been no mismatch on account of this purchase of trade goods, which we earlier used to book in other overheads, etc., right?
No, that is not there at all.
And sir, also your finance cost for the quarter has shot up quite significantly from the levels of 30 lakhs odd. This is around 8.5 crore, 8.3 crores for the current quarter. Is this on account of some India's adjustment that we have done in the quarter, or any structural change in the debt equity pattern of the company?
Yeah, no, we borrowed about 500 crores in the month of April, primarily to fund purchase of wheat. During this quarter, we have bought almost 700 crores worth of wheat, covering our requirements till almost the third quarter. So therefore, you will see the finance cost coming in now.
Okay, and the employee benefit expenses is on account of promotion, increments.
Increments, yeah, that is right.
Okay, sir, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Khanna from Future Generali India Life Insurance. Please go ahead. Mohit Khanna, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, good evening, sir. My question relates to the purchase of wheat that you just spoke about, which I believe is somewhere around 25% of the total cost, and you indicated that you have already purchased till for the requirement of third quarter. So what is the primary reason? Because the prices have been increasing, did you want to hedge this? And the second question is on competition, so after that, I'll ask again.
Yeah, this is primarily for hedging against increase that we are anticipating will happen in wheat price.
And it has happened, actually. So we purchased it, and actually the prices have gone up. So it's beneficial for us in the long run.
Fair enough. Thank you. Also, on the competition side, we see many other players, like especially Amul is also getting aggressive, and we have seen a couple of ads floating around. So what's your take on this, and how do you see yourself better placed, or what would your strategy would be to take on the competition, especially on the organized players like Amul?
See, you can make biscuits with whatever raw materials you want, right? But in India, it's all about what price you sell the biscuit at, right? I can make a gold-plated biscuit which can sell for 10,000 rupees for a biscuit. But the fact is that there has to be a certain threshold price that a product is sold at. So I do think that our products are, they bring the balance between quality as well as price as far as consumers are concerned. And that's why we continue to gain share in even as a market leader. So while, it's always good to have premium products, we have also seen in the past that if you go past a certain threshold, then it becomes very difficult to sell your product. But I'm not pointing a finger at anyone. I think they've got their strategy. They want to go with that strategy because they are a milk company, and we will watch them. If we see that, there is some traction there, then for us to make that kind of a product is not difficult.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Dama from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I just wanted to know that if you look at it, I think that it would be great if you can give some color on what's happening in the industry in terms of trends. So which category would be growing faster, whether health is growing faster, and how do you see it evolving over the next 2 to 3 years?
So again it's about segments and segments. So what's happening today is very clear. The if you look at where the turmoil is at the grassroots. The turmoil is in rural, the turmoil is related to agriculture. So because of that, the issues are happening right in the value segment, right? So and obviously it's affecting every segment, but the biggest issue is happening in the value segment because that's what sells in those markets. But if you look at what are the trends, there is a certain very small sliver of the population which is obviously looking at healthier products, so we have to start to cater to those as well, because they today they might be a sliver of the population, but over a period of time they're going to grow. So we are starting work to make sure that we look at working on products which are, you know, which are protein, which are gluten free, which are whole wheat, which are seeds and nuts and etc. So that's something that we are looking at, and we will develop. The second thing is that modern trade and e-commerce is outpacing the market. And on modern trade and e-commerce, the products, like I just mentioned, do sell a lot. So if we have to keep pace with that as well, we'll have to have these niche products which are sold on certain channels. So our strategy is being developed to make sure that we do not leave any segment, any channel to chance, and we cater to every possible consumer within the industry that we operate in.
And sir, my second question would be mainly on your dairy portion of the business. I think that where you were initially saying that the plant would be fully commissioned and operational by the end of FY20. And I think that the aggression on Winkin has also been stepped up quite a lot. So would like to know what's your sense on the business. How do you want to see it evolving over the next 2 to 3 years? And are we on track for the FY20 thing in terms of plant?
No, we never said FY20. It's probably going to, I've always said that it's probably going to take 24 months, 18 to 24 months. So I think it's looking more like 21, right, at the last quarter of 21, because, our people are making sure that every possible due diligence is done on equipment, on process, and all of that. So we've got the team together, now they're working on it. So I think it's more looking more like our own plant is looking more like 21 and not 20.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Levin Trivedi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Sir, considering...
Excuse me, Mr. Trivedi, there's some disturbance from your line. Can you please check?
Is it am I audible now?
Yes, sir. But that's fantastic.
Considering new launches have done well for you, can we expect that the volume growth of biscuits were around flat this quarter? Is our understanding right? And if you can also share what are the industry growth rates for biscuits in the last 6 months?
So it's easy to calculate. If we've we are 1/3 of the market and we've gained almost 1.3 share points, and we've grown only 6%. So obviously the market is growing slower than that. So that's a little bit of a worry, because even a 5 rupee product, if the consumer is thinking twice before buying, then obviously there is some serious issue in the economy. But it's always easy to put everything on economy. The fact is that we are market leaders. We have to make sure that we get this issue out, and we figure out what is the way of growing this market. So I think the issue with most companies, including us, is that while we've become very good at gaining share, we still haven't figured out the formula of showing growth in the category itself. But in this case, because the issue is becoming is looking tough at this point in time of market growth, we will have to make sure that we take on that leadership position to get this market to grow again. And I'm sure that, you know, other players like Parle and ITC are also looking at the same, and they will also do things to rejuvenate the market. And in the next 6 to 8 months, we will start to see this coming back.
Changes with respect to improvement between, let's say, April, May, June month, and like now July also. And so have you seen any improvement month-on-month basis?
We should give a forward-looking outlook, but there is a slight improvement, but it's not like, you know, a dramatic change from, you know, from what it was.
Okay. And with respect to your Hindi belt performance, like you said, mentioned that this has tapered down a lot because considering the rural was on the stress. Would you like to comment on, like, what is the deceleration that we have seen in the Hindi belt?
The deceleration. So what's happening really is that earlier, till about a year back, what we were seeing was that the rural market was outpacing the urban market almost by you know, 1.5. So if urban was growing at 1, the rural market was growing at 1.5. What we've seen now is that the rural market has started to grow slower than the urban market. And the urban market itself has slowed down. So I think also, you know, if you just go back a year, we had had some competitive issues from our competitor standpoint, and we'd taken full advantage of that because the competitor was inadequately available. We'd taken full advantage of that. So, you know, our base is also very high because of those reasons. The last quarter of last year, our base was quite high. So we are hoping that as, you know, this comes off and we start to cycle the right base, things will start to become better.
Okay.
So Hindi belt today, I think, is growing at a very small rate, exactly the same as what we are growing as a company. But we've already seen signs of that coming back.
And can we assume that the urban rural growth for you was similar this quarter?
Yes.
And with respect to
the operator, Mr. Zubiri, just last question, to please rejoin the queue. We have several participants waiting in the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Shah from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for giving this opportunity. I have two questions. One is with respect to this impairment cost in the standalone financials of 16 crore, that would be pertaining to which subsidiary, and is there something follow-on that can happen in the next quarters? And secondly, would you like to call out specifically the ad spend and if any Ind AS 116 impact? Thank you.
So far as the impairment is concerned, it relates to the factory in Calcutta. This is for the VRS that we have done there. So the investment, it has happened in the form of capital infusion from Britannia, against which we have taken an impairment in the standalone. Yeah. So this, we have covered most of the employees. There are still about 40 people for whom the VRS is still happened. So that was the first question. What was the second question that you had?
Second was, what were the specific ad spends this quarter? Especially because we ran a very high promo with respect to World Cup, and following to that was, you know, the Ind AS 116 impact, because other expenses also up, and the, you know, rent should typically go out. We understand that, you know, for you guys it would be of a limited impact, but just wanted to get a sense.
Right.
Thank you.
So ANSP spend for the quarter has been about 130 crore. This is excluding sales promotion and trade spends. Versus, this is comparable versus last year's spend of about 107 crores. This, so far as the ANSP is concerned.
This is the advertising.
Advertising.
So the advertising amount this quarter has been 130 versus last year, same quarter at 107.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have had no impact of Ind AS.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Richard Louis from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Hi, Varun. Want to know, you know, for a company like yours, which have traditionally, you know, have been able to drive growth through, you know, through your own internal initiatives, right? I mean, the portfolio, gap bridging, you know, geographical mix, looking at Hindi Belt, et cetera, et cetera. Why do you think, you know, and in a category as staple as biscuits, why do you think the slowdown has hit you, you know, particularly hard this time?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, we've never seen this kind of a slowdown, first of all, in the category. We have been always saying that, you know, we would like to see a double-digit category growth, et cetera, et cetera. That never happened. In fact, this slowdown, which has taken the category growth to almost, you know, 1 or 2%, has never happened before. So while we are outpacing the market by a large number and probably the largest that we've seen till now, previously what used to happen was that market would grow 7% and we would grow 10-11%. But this quarter what's happened is that the market is growing at very, very low pace and we are outpacing it by a mile, but still not able to get to a number which we aspire for. So that is the, I would say, the issue. Now, why the issue is the question, which I think guys like you can answer much better than I can, but what I would think is that with, you know, I don't think the NBFCs and all of that affects sale of a 5-rupee biscuit. What affects a sale of a 5-rupee biscuit is what the consumer feels about, you know, where they are at. And if you look at, you know, investment vehicles, whether they are, you know, real estate, and India, a lot of people have invested in real estate in small ways, in large ways, in big ways, all of that. Whether it's real estate or it's the stock market or any other investment vehicle that you look at, everything has been trending downwards. So consumers have been feeling, you know, a little stressed about the fact that they're, you know, they used to be worth a certain amount and that has come down fairly dramatically. And as a result of that, and that's my hypothesis, by the way, as a result of that, they are going very easy with consumption. And I think till that feel-good factor comes back and investment vehicles start to, you know, power back, I do think that this slowdown is not going to go away. It might ease up a bit. It might not be as stark as we've seen it to be in the last two quarters. But I don't think it's going to completely go away in a hurry.
Okay. And, Venkat, if I look at console minus standalone, I see a revenue growth of about 12%, a revenue decline of 12% for Consol minus standalone. But Varun, I heard you say that, you know, both dairy and international have grown pretty well. So, you know, how does one reconcile this number?
So, I'll explain that. Dairy business is split under two legal entities. One under VDPL, which is a subsidiary. And the fresh dairy, including the drinks that we have launched, is appearing as part of Britannia. Therefore, the disconnect there.
So the drinks are, the milkshakes are under Britannia. The yogurts are under Britannia. And you know, so that's the bifurcation. So all the growths from that are coming under Britannia.
Similarly, on the international side, there is an India export that happens out of India, which is coming as part of Britannia numbers. And the one that happens from the Middle East comes under the subsidiary. So because there is a switch in terms of manufacturing from out of India on account of a disruption that was the Middle East factories, the numbers on export is also happening out of India.
So let me explain this a little better. Basically what happened was that we have a factory in Oman, in a town called Sohar, and that was getting to be a little inefficient for us. So we decided that we will shut that down and we'll move that factory to Dubai because the costs, etc., were much better there. So we planned to do that and we'd scale down our production and we'd started to send product from India, which obviously sits in our Britannia books, right? Then what happened was that the government started to talk to us and they gave us pretty good incentives, which made it worthwhile, the Oman government, which made it worthwhile for us to stay there. But this is the period when that disruption happened, right? So you will see a lot more coming into, of the international business coming into our Britannia numbers and not in our subsidiary numbers.
And one last one, if I may, if I'm just referring to chart 14 regarding cost efficiency targets. If I look at earlier period, you used to have a pretty steep jump in these numbers from 1 year to another, and from FY18 onwards, I mean FY18 and 19 numbers are the same, and 19-20 again are is a very small jump compared to what it used to be earlier. I recall you used to say earlier that the cost savings is almost like an endless game.
Yeah,
what has changed here?
So first of all, we had scaled it up to pretty rapidly from 13-14 to 17-18, and what we've taken for ourselves is a target of 2% of revenue, and that's what we operate with every year. So as a result of that, once you get to a certain level, so we've been ramping up. From last year, it was I think 230 crores. We are now looking at 265 crores. So if you look at the 4.5 or 4.7 that's written there, you will not see a big improvement. But there is, what are you saying? Yeah. So it's all, and you also got to remember that this is not, the meter starts on 1st of April and stops on 31st of March, right? This is all incremental savings that we bring to the table. So whatever the savings are, whatever heads the savings are for the previous year, they continue in our base business, and these are all additional savings that we bring to the table.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much. Wish you all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Just two questions. First thing is on the slow growth in the category. Just wanted to understand over the last, say, 5-6 years that you've been in Britannia, have you seen, I mean, not this level of slowdown, but, how long does typically a slow period of growth take to recover? I know no two periods are the same, but just wanted to get your sense of, since this is a partly discretionary category in terms of impulse, how long would this typically does it take to recover? Is it 1, 2, 3 quarters? Just based on your experience.
So my own feeling is that we will see a slowdown for 2 or 3 quarters, and the market will start to come back slowly. We will, our new products, our new ventures, our new categories that we've gotten into will also start to contribute to our overall business. So I would say that starting Diwali, it'll probably be 3 or 4 quarters before we start to see the business coming back to levels that we were at before that.
Very clear. So the second thing was on the cost side. So you said that you've now bought some more wheat and they're covered for Q3. I just wanted to know your expectations for inflation, which is about 4% in this quarter. Do you see that going up as some of the older wheat covers and the other products kind of go away?
Not really. See, we cover, it's not that we we just do a certain cover. We obviously look at when is the new crop going to come into the market. So we keep doing these strategic covers when the time is right. It's not that,
Excuse me, this is the operator. There seems to be a disconnection from the line of the management. We request you to please stay connected while we reconnect them. Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you for being on hold. We have the management reconnected, and so we have Harit Kapoor in the question queue. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Harit. So yeah, I was trying to answer your question. So it's not like we take one-time cover. We whenever we find the right opportunity, we take the cover, and obviously there is going to be some correction as we go forward as well, because there are lots of mandates which are there in the market. Hopefully, those mandates will go away, and some more sanity will prevail. and demand and supply will play the game of economics and not just, controls, etc. So I think things should become much better from a commodity standpoint as we go forward.
So lastly was on the price increases. The price increase impact was about 3% for the quarter. Has price increases been done in Q1? How do you see that?
We did a very small number in Q1, but most of it is, flow through from a full year factor of last year.
That's it from me. Thanks and all the best.
Yeah.
Are you done with your question, Mr. Kapoor?
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kuldeep Gangwar from ASK Investments. Please go ahead.
This is regarding this Chipita JV. So you mentioned there was some 5 crore costs related to the same. So whether continue to expect the similar loss rate in coming quarters or how to expect about it?
No. When you start up a company, there are some costs because there was a team which was working on this for a long time. So the costs were debited this quarter and, some R&D work and all of that was happening. So all those costs came into play this quarter and there was no revenue. So we were, very little revenue. So once, our products start to be sold in the market and revenue start to grow, there will be obviously sanity in these P&Ls. But it's a new category. We'll have to establish it. So it is going to be, while the gross margins will become stable and good, there will be investments required to take this category forward.
Consolidation is done through equity method or it's a revenue also consolidated for this JV?
So revenue is consolidated. Loss, we take only 60% of.
Okay. And second bit, regarding this, you mentioned you borrowed 500 crore for wheat. So is it fair to assume like in coming quarters the debt will keep on coming down and this finance cost will also coming down in coming quarters?
So we have borrowed for a period of about 9 months. So by end December, it should be out of our balance sheet.
Okay. And last bit, like plant shutdown related costs fully provided for, and what was the name of the subsidiary you mentioned for impairment of 16 crore?
No, this is a GVF.
Ganges Valley. Yeah, Ganges Valley Foods. Okay. It's a little distance away from Calcutta. It was an inefficient plant with the highest costs, amongst our plants. And it was very small with very old lines, etc. And we had a fair number of workers there who had been there for a very long time. So it was best that we looked at, a technologically superior plant which gives us product with the right costs and the right efficiencies.
So cost is fully provided for, like whatever this one-off is there, or it can come in the coming quarter as well.
So, which is what I mentioned some time back. So, most of the employees, we have done the VRS.
Okay.
So, we provided for. Okay. There are about 40-odd employees who are still there. So, the cost in the coming quarters, as and when it happens, will...
It's a very small number. It won't be as large as what we've done in this quarter. So, there might be a small number as we go forward.
Okay, sure. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Kachari from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
I have two questions. One is, on product mix, would you like to give some more detail on that? Because while your realization growth, you said, is 3%, but is it due to the product mix? And currently, in case if you can give a little bit, how is your product mix stand? That's question number one. And question number two is, I'm sure this must be probably one of the highest borrowing numbers in the recent years. So from a treasury committee perspective, considering that our raw materials have such volatility, they are, every natural dependent, don't you think that the treasury committee had, there should not be any investment into any company or any instrument whereby it is not liquid in nature? Because on one end, we have a debt, on the other end, we have investment somewhere. So maybe in the future, is there such kind of a stringent committee and stringent policy are getting laid out?
Yeah. So the working capital requirement, like I mentioned to you, is a short-term requirement. This is as and when we go and buy commodity on a strategic. Right? So these get covered by a short-term borrowing, which is typically very competitive. So, you know, so
no,
there is...
I understand. I mean, there is no doubt about it being Britannia. It will be competitive, and the cost will probably be the lowest on the street. I completely appreciate that. But I'm saying the risk management policy, considering that, you know, the raw material is volatile, I'm saying from the governance and from the Treasury Committee perspective, you know, whether there is a thought that, you know, you should not make any investment which is a probably not liquid or liquid plus kind of a thing whereby you can call whatever, whenever and whatever it is. So for example, tomorrow if there is an acquisition opportunity, you may need say 1,000 crores, but if you have investment in this, again, you have to borrow in the market. On net debt basis, you are right, but as a Treasury Committee, don't you think it would be better to have a right investment policy framework in place?
We have a right balance of liquid and not so liquid investments. The reason is that typically the yields on funds are quite low. There's the yield on slightly long-term instruments are a little better. You know, we'll have to balance between the need for liquidity, the need for returns. That's the kind of fine balance that we investments are primarily for day-to-day operations. And these kind of strategic covers that we go for, they better be, this is a decision of the committee also, that these are typically met out of working capital borrowing that we do for a short period of time at very, very competitive rates.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my only feedback would be, you know, of course, I'm sure you would be aware that the market environments are becoming very, very challenging and demanding. And even the best of the companies like Infor, you know, they decide to put in 100% into liquid and kind of instrument that gives a lot of confidence and what I would say, a lot of unnecessary rumors and can be avoided. And at times, the login market caps are significantly higher than the, you know, investment value and the corresponding yield. So that's only my feedback. Of course, I'm sure management is competent enough to take that such calls if required.
But thank you for that. I think that's very good advice. While we do that, we will make sure that we put more emphasis on that because you're absolutely right. Times are challenging, and we have to make sure that we go with zero risk at this point in time.
Yeah, I'm really thankful to you for appreciating the feedback. And the second question is on product mix. Would you like to comment on that?
The product mix. So basically, if you look at versus last year, so just one point, as I was telling you, last year, one of our major competitors had a problem in terms of meeting the demand of one of their largest brands. And as a result of that, our cookie business was growing in the first half of last year at about 70%. So 70% is what our cookie business was growing at in the first half of 18-19. And that has become our base. So what has happened is that we've seen a flat cookie business on a base which is, you know, that high. You know, obviously this base starts to change as we go forward. So basically, you know, in that category, which is the value category of cookies, certainly are, you know, now at a growth rate which is reasonably, you know, small compared to what it was last year. So that is one of the issues, and that as a result of that, the mix has changed more towards the premium categories that we sell today. But it's a matter of time. It was an opportunity last year, which has come back to become our base this year, and we are hoping that as we move forward, this will all come back to used to be in terms of mix.
You know, so currently between, say, you know, mass, eco, and premium, I don't know how you define internally, where do you see the product mix currently? You know, I understood the last year was one of them. That's absolutely not a problem. I'm saying from product mix perspective, you know, where it is currently and how do you see that over the next 3-5 years?
So actually, the product mix is very good at this point in time. What we are seeing is a fair amount of momentum for our premium categories. And a slowdown as far as our, you know, our value categories are concerned. So it only helps us from an overall mix standpoint. So, but it'll normalize because, you know, the low unit price packs, which I was talking about, the low unit price packs for our cookies had a very high base. So it'll get normalized. But what we've been seeing for the last even 2 or 3 years is that the value part of the portfolio is growing much slower than the premium part of the portfolio.
So, and it will continue. I mean, you expect that kind of thing to probably continue. So your premium would be what, the, you know, 35-40% or, I mean, any ballpark number, you know, which you would like to put as a mix?
It will be the so our premium part of the portfolio will be almost 65%.
Thank you
very much for
the feedback. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah, thanks everyone for spending time with us on this call. We look forward to interacting with you again.
Thank you.